KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm Joe Morgenstern, the film critic of The Wall Street Journal. The first half hour of WALL-E is essentially wordless and left me speechless. This magnificent animated feature from Pixar starts on such a high plane of aspiration and achievement that you wonder whether the wonder can be sustained. But yes, it can. The director, Andrew Stanton, and his hundreds of colleagues have conjured up a tender, comical love story between two robots whose feelings for each other seem as nuanced and deep as any you're likely to find in live-action drama. Better still, their story plays out in two worlds that amount to a stunning and hilarious vision of what we human creatures have been up to and where it could get us. The hero's name is an acronym of his task, Waste Allocation Load Lifter Earth Class, thus WALL-E. He's a garbage compactor with a pair of swiveling binoculars for a head, a square metal body, and twin tracks that make him look like a midget tank. He was designed to stuff the discarded stuff of our consumer society into himself, squeeze it into cubes, and stack the cubes into piles. By his own design, though, WALL-E has become an endlessly curious garbologist who collects objects that strike his fancy. An egg beater, a sheet of bubble wrap, a Rubik's Cube, a paddle ball, a Zippo lighter, a diamond ring in a velvet box. He tosses the ring and keeps the box. And there's been plenty of time for his curiosity to evolve. While he's been alone on Earth for seven centuries, ever since the last humans left and neglected to switch him off. He keeps working like a half-pint Sisyphus until love blasts in from outer space in the person of a sleek white robot named Eve, which stands for Extraterrestrial Vegetation Evaluator. Her facial features are limited to a pair of oval blue eyes behind a black screen, but those come-hither peepers are so expressive that WALL-E can't help but come with her, court her, protect her, and finally follow her back to the galaxy whence she came. At this point, the story takes a new tack in a new setting, a spaceship that resembles a giant cruise liner. I don't want to spoil any surprises, so I'll tell you only that humankind's evolution, as foretold here, is a blissfully inspired reductio ad absurdum, or more accurately, inflatio ad absurdum of the omnivorous consumption that currently sustains the economies of nations like ours. And the director dares to stop the whole enormous film in its tracks for a WALL-E and Eve version of the peerless scene in Chaplin's City Lights when the once blind flower girl slowly recognizes the tramp. The scene takes your breath away. Who knew that you could be riveted by a robot's dead eyes? Andrew Stanton has described the film as his love letter to the golden era of sci-fi films that enchanted him as a kid in the 1970s. It is certainly that in Hearts and Spades. Beyond that, though, it's a love letter to the possibilities of the movie medium and a dazzling demonstration of how computers can create a photorealistic world, in this case, a ruined world of mysterious majesty that leaves literal reality in the dust. I've already called the film magnificent, so it's time to drop any inhibitions about another M-word and call WALL-E the masterpiece that it is. I'm Joe Morgenstern, the film critic of The Wall Street Journal. I'll be back on KCRW next week with more reviews.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.